Brazil is home to most of the Amazon, one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. Our colleague Samantha Pearson covers the country.
Outside Brazil, people kind of have this romantic view of the Amazon as beautiful, kind of dense forest full of animals and fish and plants. But it's actually, you know, home to a huge amount of criminal organizations, you know. So there you have drug gangs, you have illegal loggers, illegal miners, illegal fishers, illegal poachers, illegal everything, basically. And yes, there are murders, but we often don't hear about them.
The part of the Amazon that is the most dangerous is at the intersection of Colombia, Peru, and Brazil, an area known as the Javari Valley.
The Javari Valley is a huge patch of dense Amazonian rainforest. It's about the size of Portugal. There are basically no roads. Everything is done by river. There's barely cell phone reception, barely internet signals. So there's little contact in some of these places to the outside world.
Earlier this month, two men disappeared there, a Brazilian expert on indigenous communities and a British journalist. They had been on an expedition looking into some of the illegal activities going on. And what happened to these two men has exposed the tensions in Brazil between preserving and exploiting the Amazon. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, June 27th. Coming up on the show, murder in the Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
In recent years, tensions in the Amazon have been intensifying. And that's partly related to the 2019 election of President Jair Bolsonaro.
He is a former army captain. Some people have called him the Tropical Trump, a bit of a radical right-wing populist who has always argued that the Amazon deserves development and not protection. He's often said that indigenous people are not animals in a zoo. They shouldn't be protected.
Here's Bolsonaro in 2019 saying his government is committed to environmental preservation and sustainable development for the benefit of Brazil.
Meu governo tem um compromisso solene com a preservação do meio ambiente e do desenvolvimento sustentável em benefício do Brasil.
And how has the Amazon changed since he's come to power?
I mean, he's been in office since 2019, and we've seen record levels of deforestation during that time. He has disputed those figures, but when we speak to people on the ground, that is a sensation. And it's not necessarily because laws have changed. It's just the feeling of impunity. And basically what has happened is that the criminals have taken advantage of this, and they have started invading the indigenous lands more frequently and becoming bolder.
Bolsonaro's administration cut funding to agencies that work to protect the rainforest, which means there are fewer government officials watching what's going on in the Amazon. And because the government has stepped back, the job has fallen to local communities, activists, and nonprofits. And one of those people was Bruno Pereira, one of the men who disappeared. This is Bruno Pereira singing an indigenous song from the Kanamari tribe. Pereira spent years working as an activist for indigenous rights. He started out in the government before his views began to clash with the new administration. He took a leave of absence and continued his work to protect indigenous tribes independently.
indigenous communities that are living according to the traditions that have existed for years and years and years. Some of them have contact with the outside world, but there are also several tribes that are believed to be there that don't. They are completely isolated in the middle of the forest.
Together with indigenous groups, Pereira helped mark the borders of their territory and shut down illegal activities there. One big battle involved illegal gold mining, a practice that damages the ecosystem by dredging the river. Our colleague Luciana Magalhães went to the Javari Valley to report on this story and ask local indigenous communities about Pereira's work.
What he was doing basically was working with surveillance system. Since he was helping to establish a system of drones so they could see who was coming and what was happening in the areas. He was trying to make sure that the rights of the indigenous were respected.
And do you have a sense of whether the indigenous tribes in the Javari Valley accepted him?
I think so. It was spoke to the indigenous who lived in the town, and they all loved Bruno. That's why Bruno felt very comfortable going there.
But Pereira also had enemies there. As part of his work protecting indigenous land and resources, he would report illegal activities to authorities. And there's a lot in the area, particularly illegal fishing.
The fishermen, they want a big fish. People have said that the biggest fishes or the most profitable fishes are in the indigenous area. So people go fish in the area where the indigenous live because it's easier to get big fishes like piracuru. Piracuru is a very giant fish that gets a lot of money, not only in Brazil, but also in Colombia.
How valuable is one of these fish?
Fishermen told me that there are people illegally waiting for the fishermen to come to the port with the fish, and they buy it for what would be worth 15 days of a salary of a fisherman there.
And these fish poachers can sometimes get recruited into criminal operations. The Javari Valley is also a drug trafficking route. It borders some of the biggest cocaine-producing countries in the world, Colombia and Peru. And the drug cartels need local expertise to help them ferry their drugs through this impenetrable forest.
The fishermen, for example, are often recruited by drug gangs because if the drug gangs are trying to ship cocaine down the river, the best person to recruit is a fisherman because he knows the river like the back of his hand. And then this obviously, you know, is right on the doorsteps of these indigenous communities. Now they're involved in this kind of vicious battle to defend the territories themselves from some of the world's most dangerous criminals. I mean, we're talking about drug gangs like the PCC, you know, one of the biggest criminal organizations in the world. And because now that the government has withdrawn so many of its people from the region, the tribesmen are basically left to themselves to defend their land. It's kind of David and Goliath type battle.
Someone who wanted to see this David and Goliath battle for himself was British journalist Dom Phillips.
He's one of the most experienced reporters on the Amazon. He was writing a book precisely on this.
His book is called How to Save the Amazon. And one place he wanted to see was the Javari Valley. He asked Bruno Pereira to take him there. At the beginning of June, the two men headed down the Itaquaí River. They traveled in a small motorboat, meeting people along the way. But when they were supposed to return...
It was the morning of June the 5th, and about 6 o'clock in the morning, it was about sunrise, they were going to make the long, long journey back. So they were kind of at the end of this reporting trip.
The trip would take about 2.5 hours.
They were going to get to the city of Atalaya do Norte.
Communication in that area is very difficult. You don't have internet. Sometimes it's hard to call people.
They got in the motorboat, and that was the last that people saw of them. That was kind of when they vanished.
And what happened is after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
How well do we know the people we work with every day? We share lunches, jokes, and deadlines, but are we aware of the unseen struggles we often face silently? Stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or feeling misunderstood at work. Through insight, awareness, and empathy, we can start to better see the issues our coworkers are dealing with, and that can make us and our companies healthier too. Join Holly Robinson-Pete and her guests on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare.
Bruno Pereira and Dom Phillips had embarked on a dangerous journey, traveling through a section of the Amazon that was riddled with illegal activity. So when they didn't make it to their destination on June 5th, it quickly raised alarms. And when do people start to realize that they had disappeared?
So in Atalaya do Norte, they were expected to arrive there about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and people were waiting for them, and they never turned up. And when they didn't turn up, the indigenous group sent out two search parties for them on Sunday.
Authorities were telling us maybe the boat capsized and they swam. Locals always said, and the indigenous always told us, Bruno was not going to get lost there. Bruno knew what he was doing.
They were already, you know, convinced more or less that something had happened, that this wasn't normal.
By the next day, the federal police and Navy sent out two patrol boats, a helicopter, and a jet ski to navigate the narrow rivers. But they didn't find anything.
The Brazilian army has been sent to try to find the men.
They've now been missing for well over 48 hours.
A desperate search is intensifying. Authorities now launching a criminal probe into the men's disappearance.
Well, there's growing fears for the worst.
A week has now passed.
On Sunday, after a week-long search, divers retrieved a plastic bag from the river containing a backpack and some belongings of the two missing men.
Police have arrested one man so far, suspected of tailing the missing men.
The police detained a local fisherman named Amarildo da Costa de Oliveira.
They've appeared close to a community called São Gabriel, community where Amarildo de Oliveira used to live with his family. Very basic, no light. They don't have, like, electricity there. When I was there, basically dogs, chicken, wooden houses, very in the middle of nowhere.
And Bruno Pereira knew him because Amarildo de Oliveira was allegedly an illegal fisherman.
His family deny it, but people in the region say that Amarildo fished illegally. Every morning he would go into the indigenous territory and fish and come back. So Bruno was kind of his worst nightmare, you know, like the government had left and he was free to do what he wanted. But then there was Bruno, you know, like on his case all the time, trying to detain him or reporting on him or following him.
When the police took in Amarildo de Oliveira's boat, they found spots of blood inside. Then they arrested his brother. And 10 days after Pereira and Phillips went missing, the police held a press conference.
Onde ele anunciou que havia enterrado os corpos e também o local onde ele comunica que havia
They said that Amarildo de Oliveira had confessed to being part of a group that ambushed and killed the two men and then buried their bodies deep in the rainforest.
He had enough, and he was just waiting for the right moment, and that he saw this as the kind of the perfect opportunity to do what he had been wanting to do.
Here's what happened as the police pieced it together.
Amarildo and some other men were in another motorboat, and they approached Dom and Bruno from behind. Because of the sound of the motor on their boat, they didn't hear him coming, and that this gave time to shoot Bruno in the back. And then they shot Dom because he was a witness. Then they shot through their boat and they got bags of earth and they tried to weigh down the boat so that it would sink.
I was there the day they found the bodies. And the city was people in the city, they couldn't talk about anything else. They were astonished with what happened. So at 4 o'clock, we all went to the port, including like the whole town. Everybody was standing by, waiting for the police to come back. And finally, some policemen came saying that they had found them.
Since then, their remains have been returned to their families. And last weekend, their funerals took place in Brazil. And it's been a hard time for the indigenous communities that Pereira was dedicated to helping.
One of the leaders said he's going to call his next child either Bruno or Bruna, because he wants to pay homage to Bruno, who was a friend and a person who really helped them.
What do you think all of this will mean for the Javari Valley and for the tribes who live there?
I mean, if Amarilda's intention was to kill Bruno in order that he could then carry on illegally fishing in peace, then, you know, the opposite is going to occur, because the world's media has descended on this place. Everyone is now writing stories about illegal fishing in the region. And to some extent, you know, that will put pressure on the authorities, or at least there will be more people involved. It's kind of shone a spotlight on the issue.
The government didn't comment when asked whether its policies have worsened violence in the region. Sam says the loss of Pereira and Phillips is being felt among those working to balance preserving the Amazon with the development that is going on inside of it.
And that is what is so sad, because Dom, he was coming up with a list of real kind of on-the-ground solutions about how to balance these contradictory goals. And this is what happens to him.
What do you think this tells us about the state of the Amazon right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look on paper about the Amazon, you know, in terms of the area, the number of trees, it's a huge economic resource. You know, if you're in charge of a country like Brazil, it seems to be like an untapped resource. And there is this desire to develop in some way this region, which is kind of untouched within Brazil's borders. But it's problematic, right? Because the Amazon is Brazil's, but it also belongs to the world, in the sense that if the Amazon were to disappear completely today, the whole world would suffer, you know. So it's a very tricky situation, right? Because national borders don't exist to that degree, and that Brazil does have a responsibility that goes outside of its borders. And that has been a big problem, really, coming to terms with that.
That's all for today, Monday, June 27th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.